Well, I don't know about you, but I love a great mystery. I look forward to when PBS, public broadcasting station, they would have mystery theater, and they would have different shows on mysteries, different mysteries, a lot of Agatha Christie, different stories that she originated. Hercule Poirot, if you're familiar with him, he's a character that she would have in many of her books. And of course, Sherlock Holmes. It's just intriguing to me to see, some kind of a secret that you don't know, but then things are done and they get revealed. And what makes a mystery really intriguing is the value of what is being held secret. You know, if we were talking about, missing $10 out of your wallet, I mean, no big deal, we can search around and maybe find it. But if the bank all of a sudden said, "Oh my gosh, we're missing $1 million," that would be a pretty big mystery to solve, right? Well, in God's Word, there is a most phenomenal mystery ever told and ever revealed. And God could have communicated the truths that are involved in this particular mystery in a different way. I mean, he could have had them stated as a matter of fact. But he calls it a secret, a mystery. And it really, I think, lends itself to the value of what it's all about. This mystery is so deep, so vital to man's walk with God, that as it says in God's Word, that if the princes of the world, and that means the devil spirit, Satan, the devil, if they would have known this secret, if they would have known this mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, you know that if Jesus Christ was not crucified, if he didn't die for us, our sins would not have been paid for, and we would still be in sin. But God obviously did a wonderful work through his Son, and he kept a secret for a long, long time since the world began, so Satan wouldn't know what was coming. So let's take a look at this most fantastic mystery. And I'd like to go to Deuteronomy 29:29. And I'm going to move right along with these scriptures. I'll read them to you. You're welcome to catch up and look in your Bibles. That's wonderful, but I'm going to move along. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So a secret thing that God would keep a mystery or a secret, they belong to God. But if he reveals them, then we can benefit from it. All right? So now let's go to Romans chapter 16. Chapter 16, we're going to look at the very end of this, verse 24. It is almost the very end of Romans. Romans is the foundational book in the Bible on how to believe. It teaches the salvation, right? Romans 10:9. So a lot of the great foundational truths are in the book of Romans. So Romans 16:24 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And you kind of, okay, that finishes Romans, but there's a couple more verses, right? It's kind of interesting why God plugged in a couple more verses. And look what he's talking about in these verses. Verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since when?
The world began.
Since the world began. But now, verse 26, is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. God, he made a commandment to reveal this mystery. He's made known to all nations for the purpose of the obedience of faith, so people could have right believing. So right at the end of Romans, it talks about this mystery, this revealing of this great mystery that God kept secret since the world began. Now, does that intrigue your mind? What is this mystery? What's this great secret that God would communicate in his word that must be pretty fantastic? Well, go to Colossians. Chapter 2, we're going to seek out the scriptures because that's where he reveals this mystery. So put on your Sherlock Holmes cap and pipe, and we'll take a look at some of these other scriptures, all right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them that are at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of what?
The mystery of God.
The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Wow. I mean, you look at that verse there. The desire of God is hearts are comforted, that they're knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance. Full assurance, not just a little, know a little bit of it, but a full assurance of the understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery. Verse 3, in whom are hid how many treasures of wisdom and knowledge?
All
treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, man, this mystery must be pretty awesome, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back here a little bit. And in Romans, when it talks about this mystery, it's the Greek word mysteron. We saw it in Romans there, that word mystery, and what we see in these other verses. And so we want to look at what this secret is and God's intention for us to know this secret. So here, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding what? The mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You know, Timothy, we call that a leadership epistle. It's written to Timothy. It's his letter. We learn from it. But Paul is teaching Timothy about leading the church, and this subject comes up, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience and without controversy. Verse 16, I'm jumping down to verse 16, I'm sorry, 3:16, 1 Timothy, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Okay. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So this mystery must be quite something. And it was important enough for Timothy to remember what that mystery was. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Now, this word testimony in the Greek is this word mysteron that I mentioned to you earlier, which is translated mystery most of the time. But here, for whatever reason, in the King James Version, maybe some of you that have other translations might have something a little different, but declaring unto you the mystery of God, maybe that would be a little better translation according to the Greek. Now, chapter 2, verse 6, jump down to verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." You know, the wisdom of this world goes back to the devil, the adversary, Satan. That's why it mentions the princes of this world. Those are the devil spirits that are in this world to put us down, to speak negative, to steal, kill, and to destroy, right?
Amen.
And that's what they say here, that come to naught. So, but, verse 7, "we speak the wisdom of God in a" what?
Mystery.
In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So, wow, this mystery has the benefit to be for our glory. Pretty neat so far, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But, verse 9, "but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And then most people, when they read this verse, they stop and they preach and say, well, you know, eye hasn't seen, we haven't heard, we don't know what's entered in the heart of man, the things that God's prepared for them that love him, we just can't know it all. And on they go, where we can't know what God really wants for us. Well, the subject here is talking about this mystery, right? This hidden wisdom that God ordained for our glory. So this verse, you can't stop there. What's verse 10 say? But. Whenever you see the word but, you got to stop and think about, okay, what is talking about? Something said, but, it sets in contrast, God hath revealed them unto us. So God has revealed these great secrets, this mystery, this hidden wisdom to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God has revealed what the mystery is. Pretty neat so far, huh? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Ephesians is a wonderful epistle that teaches us, I think, the highlights of who we are in Christ. And in verse 9 of chapter 1, one of the things it says is, "having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself." So he has made known the mystery of his will. All right? Now, when does he do this? Well, if we kept reading on, we'd get to chapter 3. We're just going to skip there. We won't read on, okay? We'll jump down to chapter 3, verse 2, and let's go from there. "If you have heard of the dispensation," or perhaps a better word to understand this, "the administration of grace of God." You know, we are in the administration of the grace of God. It's the grace of God that we have what we have today. We're not under the law. We're not under the administration of the law. Okay? And he says about this great, this administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Paul had the privilege to write God's word. God is the author. Paul wrote it down, and he wrote about this great mystery. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Well, when did he write this before? Well, in Romans, right? In Romans we saw that in chapter 16. So here we're going to see a little bit about this mystery being revealed. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Whereby when you read, mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is part of the great mystery, that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and in the same body. Now, at this time and in their culture, the Gentiles were considered dogs. They were considered, they didn't count. They were not of the children of Israel. They were not God's chosen. So the Gentiles were kind of left out of the loop of the things of God. And so part of this mystery, God had in his heart and mind to involve the Gentiles so they would have the same spiritual realities that the Jews had. On the day of Pentecost, when they first got born again and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so part of this mystery, so that Gentiles also would be a part of this body of Christ. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, and less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, right? That wonderful fellowship of the mystery where we're all in one body. Gentiles, same, born again. They're part of the same body. They partake of the promise in Christ. And so his heart was that all men see the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God is it, the wisdom in all its greatness, all its bigness, according, verse 11, to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we talk about what's your purpose in life. Well, what was Jesus Christ's purpose in life? And what was the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus? Well, it goes back to that we would all be in the same body and that we would have all the same promises of God, everyone that is born again. All right. And then verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. As a result of knowing the mystery, knowing that we're in the body of Christ, knowing that he loves us and he has given us all these great promises, we can have boldness. We have the access and confidence to believe God, to go before the throne of God, right? And see him work mightily for us. So let's look at chapter 6, verse 19, another place where it talks about the mystery. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that the greatness of what God had promised that nobody knew until he revealed it later on about the one body of Christ. And so this comes right after putting on the whole armor of God, doesn't it? If you remember chapter 6 in Ephesians, it's put in the whole armor of God. And so that we can stand, right? And then we would pray one for another. And the prayer would be to hold forth, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Boy, we want to speak boldly. We know what the mystery is. And the greatness of that mystery we're going to see here in Colossians chapter 1. So go there. This mystery is so huge, so big, that if Satan would have known about it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Fantastic. Well, here's the fullness of it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, or the administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even what? The mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Well, here it is. What is that great mystery that's been hid for ages and generations? Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow! Christ in you, the hope of glory. Anybody, everybody, Jew, Gentile, that is born again has Christ in them. All that Christ is, we have, regardless of who you are, your background. We all have that. You know, I could understand if Satan would have known this, he would not have crucified Christ, because he could work with one guy, Christ, on earth. But you and I, if we stand with the Christ that we have in us, there's a bunch of Christ running around, right? There could be millions and millions of Christ running around. Boy, the old devil would pull his hair out.
Probably is, anyway.
He is. And boy, as long as we recognize the mystery, because he's keeping it a secret, for the most part, most Christians don't see who they are in Christ. They don't know that they have Christ in them, the hope of glory. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we just got to wake up to the value of this mystery. And it's the Christ in you. Each one of us is born again. Once have Christ in us. Oh, my goodness. That is just, I mean, we all want to be like Christ, right? We all want to have what he has. Well, we have it, doggone it, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're perfect. Because we have the one who is perfect in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Wow. Whew. Okay, Colossians 4:2. I'm finishing up here. I know I'm going a little longer than we normally do, but Colossians 4:2. Some great things to do here. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak what?
The mystery
of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Boy, we just don't want to speak, well, God is good, he's nice, so maybe you might want to get born again. Yeah, he's good, but man, you want to get born again because you're going to have Christ in you. You're going to have the power of Christ in you. What did Christ do? You want to do those things? You can, because you have Christ in you. Wow. So I think this is great. A great prayer that we would pray that we could speak up, speak the mystery of Christ. that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 4. Now, isn't this an awesome mystery? Man, oh man, it's not a secret anymore because we want to speak it out. God wants us to speak forward and declare the virtues of Christ in you, in everybody. Our identification is in Christ. And it's crucial for us to recognize that if we're really going to walk with power, right? If we're going to walk with power with Christ in us, we've got to recognize that. The devil wants to keep this a secret. And he's working all he can to befuddle our thinking, to get us off on tangents so we're thinking politics and vaccines and all this stuff. Let's talk about Christ. Let's get back to the power of God through the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Man, oh man, that's what we want to continue to manifest as we hold forth God's word over the world, okay?
Amen.
So maybe you can see why I like this teaching, because it's fantastic. I mean, I can't think of any greater mystery than that. I've seen a lot of mystery shows, and there's some more intriguing than others, but there's nothing more intriguing than what is in God's word that we saw tonight. So bless your hearts. I trust that you learned a little something tonight. And, you know, the goal of learning is to do. And I know for me, I want to do my best for my Heavenly Father. He sure did his best for us, didn't he?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So, Father, thank you for loving us and giving us the greatness of Christ within, and that we're all in this one body of Christ together, everybody that's born again. And I'm thankful that we can recognize this and we can just beat back the devil, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, because it's Christ in us. So we thank you, Father, for continuing to work with us and help us so that we can have that boldness to speak forth this great mystery. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.